Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Morning, Coastal. Hey, for us. Happy birthday, Gina. Woohoo! You're not allowed to say the lady's age. She's rude. Can this time, though, yeah. She's basically kicking the 50s out. That's what she's saying. Okay. She said it, so I'm allowed to say it. Morning, morning, morning. What's happened to you, these COVID section here? You guys are getting scarce here. I can't say it to the cruisers. Cruisers say, hey, that's been our seat forever and a day. So come social distance or no social distance, they're sitting over there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, it's a good day to be alive. And are we alive on live stream? Yeah, we've got a thumbs up. Helka, people out there in the highways and the byways, in your beds, in your comforters, in your lazy boys, welcome, welcome. And those that will watch us later, it's nice to have you. Today, you'll be very grateful that you're not in church because I'm going to turn up the heat today. I am going to turn up the heat and only the tough will come to church today. Hallelujah. It's a good day. Just want to let you know that the musicians are working hard at it, and I've asked them that the 1st of November, they are live on stage. So they're working at it, and it's no pressure, musicians. Just hurry up and get your act together and get up here, okay? Hallelujah. We've got a new crew, and they're working together and getting to know each other. And hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Excuse me, stop having your own conversation, yeah? He who has the mic has the floor. Where's the respect, yeah? Hallelujah. Also want to let you know that November 20th, that's the weekend before Thanksgiving, we're going to turn this place into a place where we can have lunch together. We're going to have our harvest lunch together. We do it 4 times a year, and so we're all going to get together. And those that are organizing, coordinating it, will let you know what to do and how to get your names down so we have a great time together. So you come and you sit around tables, and then we preach the word to you, and then we have a meal together. So that's going to be fun, and then you can go back home and prepare the turkey for the Thursday coming and eat the fatted ham and the fatted turkey and all the other things that I don't really need to put around my waist. I got some furniture disease. When your chest falls into your drawers, okay, I got furniture disease, and that's what I'm battling with. You can have anything you want, as long as I don't have to cook it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, yes, and so the 1st of November, we're going to have the musos on, we're going to have the Thanksgiving, and I just want to say this from Val and I. They've got this thing that helps us and brings meals to our home, people bring meals to our home, and I'll tell you, I have never felt so loved by a church in my life as I have in the last 3 or 4 weeks. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I know that's not all of you, and you wanted to extend it again another week. We said, no, listen. The blessings are pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I know sometimes it was a team event. Somebody said, yes, we'll do it. And somebody else had to cook it, and then another person had to deliver it, but it was a whole team event. But I tell you, we're blessed, and you guys tried out your best recipes on us, and I enjoyed every minute of it, and my waistline has told me so. So thank you so much, and truly, Val and I are grateful. And Valerie would have been very skinny if it wasn't so, because I'm not a cook. I clean the dishes and wash up, and I do a breakfast, and I do a barbecue now and again. But I can't be good at everything, you know. Okay, hallelujah. So, Kestel, it's great to be with you, to be able to share the Word of God with you again today. And I just want to pray for our hearts that we would be ready soil for today, because I'm definitely going to turn the heat up, okay? So, hallelujah. Those that are dressed warmly will be adjusted as the message goes forward. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you that we can come together as family, come together in one place, one accord, one heart, one mind. And we know that what took place in Pentecost, when all that happened, the place was shaken. And we really thank you that our lives will be shaken today, will be adjusted so that we can truly reflect and resemble you as we go forward into a needy, dying world. And we thank you for the opportunity in Jesus' name. Amen. So a couple of weeks ago, we started a message which just came to me, and when God kind of challenged me, he says, will you sail the storm? Will you sail the storm? Because many of us have stopped, stalled, and have sunk back because of the scenario we find ourselves in worldwide. And so God is challenging us. He says, listen, you know, the ship is really safe in the harbor, but that's not what it's designed for. It's designed to be out in the sea. It's designed to be able to handle the storms. And we're designed to do that as believers. We're the one that runs into the fire. We're the ones that run to the situation. We're the ones that run and bring hope to a hopeless situation, help to those that need it. We're the ones that get up and go. And it kind of, this whole thing has paralyzed the believer. And so this message is kind of just to stir us up. And so the question was, will you sail in the storm? Will you sail it? And it will take certain things that for us to get through there. It's going to take a posture that is positive, because your attitude will definitely determine your altitude. You can see some people that are just going through it and they're just miserable. Well, misery is a choice. You can just smile. Changes. There are less muscles to use when you smile than when you frown and or sour like you've been sucking on pickles. Now, so I tell you what. So you need a positive attitude. Just say, no, listen. If God be for me, who can be against me? I'm ready to go for this thing. And you need a plan. You need to be able to navigate this thing because you understand. And that's what I've been trying to unpack with you, just saying that there are various storms. Listen, we live in life and life has storms. Just make friends with it. And we got to just learn to be able to get good at it. One of the things you need to do is make sure you now understand how to have a prayer life. Because in the storm, you need a good prayer life. You need to kind of do as those disciples did when the storm hit them in Matthew 8, when Jesus was asleep in the boat and the storm came. They went and woke Jesus up. They had a prayer meeting with Jesus. They had a conversation with Jesus and said, Jesus, listen, we're going to perish. If you don't do something, you need to talk to the storm. And so when Jesus was on the boat, I want to just let you know, you're going to the other side. Because if the big thing, if you haven't got Jesus on the boat, better get him in your boat. Because then you're okay. You can get through to the other storm. The other thing is you need to have a purpose. Because purpose holds you focused. Because sometimes what you see in the light, you better not forget in the dark. Because it's going to get cloudy. It's going to get dim. It's going to be a place where you need to be able to turn around and say, what is my purpose? Why am I here? And so Jesus had a purpose for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, so he gave him things to get up, and he went through some storms. If you think Calvary wasn't a storm for him, well, I don't know where you've been sleeping, because I tell you what, that was a storm. And Paul as well. Paul also needed to have a purpose, and so we needed to be able to pull through that. So I don't think we've got a bit of a ring up here, so you may want to be able to tweak it or adjust it. Hallelujah. Now, then the question was, does the devil bring all the storms? No. Devil does bring storms, but you also, and our stupidness, we also bring storms in our life. And I think if I asked you to show hands who have made mistakes and brought storms in their life, I think most of us would. If I asked, Gary, if I asked. And then others would bring storms in your life. Man, you're just merrily going along in your life, and then suddenly somebody does something that causes a storm in your life. And so then your car's written off, and you've got to go and get another car. The heck, I was just driving along behaving myself, and here you violate the laws of the road. And then sometimes God arranges some storms to kind of get our attention, and I'm going to elaborate a bit on that today. So God doesn't waste a storm. He takes every opportunity to grow us in that storm. So maturity comes either by time or responsibility, mistakes, but man, storms is a good thing that matures us. And so God doesn't waste a storm. And this I need you to see, and maybe you must remember, that God is more interested in our character than our comfort. My cat's really got comfort going for it. He's more interested in our character, because there's a certain character that you need to have when you're walking with the King in the kingdom. And so sometimes we've got some yuck character that needs to be sorted out. And a storm does a great job in sorting that out and kind of locates you. So it's hard times produce great believers. And I've journeyed through nations that have changed from first world to third world. I've seen nations go and lived in it, and I've been citizens of it. And I've seen when hard times come, that bad believers, good flavor comes out in the tea bag, eh? When it's in the hot water. Hallelujah. Are we storm wise? Is the other thing I talked about. I'm addressing three different storms, and I've dealt with two of them. The first one is the Komatsu storm. The Komatsu storm is one that you best be spirit-led to avoid at all costs, because it is not good for you. And when we are spirit-led and facing the storm, a couple of things are going to be challenging you. The professional wisdom will come to you say, Well, the professor says this, or the economist says this, or, you know, the professor in these areas are going to talk you out of it, around it, or maybe just to carry on into the storm. And so you need to make sure that the professional wisdom, profit, always, man, hey, the bottom line, we're looking for the buck. We're looking for the Benjamins. We're going to go for it. And so it clouds your vision of what the Spirit of God is saying. And so we need to understand that prophet wisdom, suitable wisdom. It's just not comfortable. It's just not suitable. Well, sometimes when you've lost your nice four-bedroom home and you're in a tiny house, then you would say, oh, that little four-bedroom house was quite okay because now your comfort has just been. And then majority, the crowd always goes in the majority. And sometimes God says, no, I don't want you to go there. So majority is not there. And circumstances. And we went through this, you know. God opens doors and closed doors. Well, you don't know if the devil's also opened and closed doors. So, you know, don't be led like that. Be led by the Spirit. So I tackled those things, those storms and the Komatsu storm. Avoided at all costs. The seismic storms is a storm that we can challenge, we can overcome, and we can rebuke because we have faith. And God has given us authority to address those. And I spoke about that last week. And it's also understanding that everybody says, well, I don't have that kind of faith. Well, your faith can be the size of a grain of a mustard seed, which is one of the most small, the smallest seeds there is around. And you can say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea and do not doubt. Because it's not the size of your faith, it's the subject of your faith. If I understand that, listen, I'm not sure if my God that I believe in is big enough to deal with this cancer situation or this need situation or this challenge. Well, then I need to go to the manual and increase my knowledge of how big my God is. If he holds the ocean in the palm of his hand, and he spreads out the stars and names every star and has every name for the star, then it starts increasing my faith and capacity to believe God. So it's the subject of your faith. How big is the subject of your faith? How big is your God? So this week I want to tackle the Sire storm, and for the sake of me not enunciating it correctly, I'm going to call it the sea storm, okay? The sea storm, all right? Helps me get through it when I have to try and speak. I'm working on this English here. Hallelujah. This storm is between us and God. I want you to understand, I put it in a certain order, us and God. Because it's what us do that causes a storm. It's not what God is doing to us. It's what us do that causes the storm. And I want us to, and I'm trying to get you to repent today, which means metanoia, which means to change your mind about God. Because if you come from a religious background, you understand, well, if I step out of line, God's going to sort me out. He's going to punish me. He's going to teach me things. And it's God that's doing this. I want you to understand that we serve a good, good God. And this sea storm is something we need to understand how it affects our lives. I started with Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12. It says this, for the Lord corrects those he loves. Doesn't punish them. I looked at multiple translations. It says he corrects those. And he brings correction in different ways to us. But he corrects us. In Romans 8:31, it says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? You understand that he's so for us. He so wants to bless us. I know as a parent, I want to bless my children. I want to give them the favor. And I know that I'm an earthly father and my great father, Big D Dad, is able to do exceedingly abundantly what I can do. So if God is for you, who can be against you? But what can I say is if you are brushing the cap the wrong way, if you're doing things that are against what God has asked us to, then I don't care if the Pope's for you or the president of the country is for you. You have issues. If God is, you're gonna be pushing against a God that says, no, that's not how you do it in the kingdom. This is how it happens. If you're going to go ahead and do this, these things are going to come towards you. Not, I'm not putting it on you. You are going to bring it upon yourself. And that's what happens. So in James 4:6, it says, God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. He doesn't stop the proud. He doesn't punish the proud. He says he resists them. And I know that resistance, it just makes your life a little, he says, no, I'm not going to bless that. I'm not going to grace that. That is not the way I do things in my kingdom. So we bring it by our actions and by our ways. And so God is loving, gracious, and merciful, and kind. And so we must understand that there are laws that prevail. There are laws that are put in place that God spoke into being when he created earth. And there is laws that are physical laws. There are moral laws. And there are spiritual laws. And if you cut across those laws, even the laws of the road, if you cut across them, there's going to be issues. You're going to bring a storm into your life. There are things that are laws that if you cut across them, it's going to affect. So I want to set a stage so you can understand that our gracious, loving God has situated us and positioned us and blessed us as believers in a situation, but we can cause a sea storm to come to us. And it's because of us and God. And we need to understand that. I want to bring it out from Exodus 13, 21. And that's when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt. And Egypt was, and I want you to see God's love and care here. And he says, and the Lord went before them, the children of Israel, by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way. And by night, a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could go by day and by night. I want you to see that there was provision for the children of Israel while they stayed in the cloud. You understand that when you're in a desert or in a wilderness area where it's hot, and we experienced that in Israel, it gets stinking hot in there. And there is a cloud to protect you by day, and then there's a fire because at night in the wilderness it gets freezing cold, and it keeps you warm. But there was provision of manna. There was all sorts of provision that surrounded that. Were the children of Israel goody two shoes people? Were they complaining? Yeah. Were they murmuring? Yeah. Were they sinning? Yeah. But God's provision was still there. His cloud was still there. His manna was still there. His fire by night to keep them warm was still there. I want you to understand that his provision was still there. And so as we see this, we see that his love and his provision is providing and then guiding the children of Israel, and his love and grace is there. And while they remained under the cloud, they didn't get sunburnt. And while they were at the pillar of fire at night, they kept warm. And so there was. But their way of life in that environment caused them to go through a sea storm for 40 years before they could get to the promised land. So though you got the provision and the presence of God and all that, you can bring a sea storm in your life because you do not get to your destination. You don't get to where God wants you to go because of the way you're behaving in his presence, in his protection, in his covering. And that causes, and because that's a sea storm, it's something that you just bashing against God, and God will not release it until you adjust it. We've got to adjust it. And so the children of Israel had to walk right, live right, and think right. Why? Because they were physically free from Egypt, but they were not emotionally and mentally free from Israel, Egypt, because they still thought like the Egyptians. So if he took them straight to the promised land, they would have developed blooming pyramids and started growing and becoming just like the Egyptian, worshiping like the Egyptian. He had to wait 40 years to get Egypt out of them while providing for them, taking their nonsense, their murmuring, their complaining, all that stuff. So I want you to understand that the sea storm comes to us and it will affect us in our growth and our journey and our purpose going forward. Have a look at an example of Jonah. He brought a sea storm on his life. Let's just quickly read it, because Jonah was told to go to Nineveh and deliver a message of repentance to Nineveh. Now, Jonah, it wasn't obvious his first assignment that God now decided out of the blue, say, okay, I'll just pick Nineveh. Nineveh can go and give this, Jonah, and he can go to Nineveh. No, Jonah, I'm sure, had walked with God, had served God in the purposes, bringing the voice of God. He was the prophetic voice of that day. And so now he gets told, listen, as one of my prophetic people, I want you to go and deliver this. And it says here in verse 4, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, whatever. Told you. Amittai. Yeah, okay. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose and flee to Tarsus. So God's saying, go to New York and tell them, listen, they better repent. What does old Jonah do? No, he heads to Miami to jump on a ship to go to San Juan. That's what he wants to do. Okay, that's what he's doing. Okay, to flee to Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. He wanted to go. He went down to Joppa, found a ship that was going to Tarsus. So he paid the fare and went down into it and to go with them to Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. Not a good thing to leave the presence of the Lord. But anyway, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. And there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots." This is obviously before the Holy Spirit came to planet Earth, "that we may know who's the cause of this trouble, this trouble that has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Jonah, you got to understand, you're messing with God. He's gonna trick the books, okay? And then the men were exceedingly afraid, and they said to him, "Why have you done this?" For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord. So obviously he was blabbing this, going down and saying, "Listen, I'm running from God. So let's get this ship on the sail and let's get on to San Juan. Let's get out of here. Hurry up. Let's move." And so they picked up Jonah and they threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its rage. And then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered sacrifices to the Lord and took vows. I just want to note that in this whole process, Jonah evangelizes the whole ship, gets them to acknowledge God and sacrifice to God and worship God. So God doesn't waste a storm, okay? He got them all saved. And so he got chucked over. And then obviously every kid that's gone to kids' church has learned this. And then Jonah traveled 3 days in the belly of the whale. I want you to see that. Notice this storm grows in intensity. Our gracious Father, when a sea storm starts coming towards us, it comes to us graciously, but it starts growing in intensity because we are thick-skinned, hard-headed, and slow in learning. And it comes and it grows. And the consequences of avoiding, ignoring, and disregarding and neglecting the ways and the principles of God causes a sea storm in our life. So I'm hoping to practically make you experience that today. So here we have been provided here at Flagler Beach, a nice comfortable place where it's comfortable. We can worship, come together. It's been a wonderful provision. And we can so easily ignore and avoid and disregard some of the principles that keep us all nice and comfortable here. Just like us as believers, we can ignore some of the principles and the ways that God wants us to walk, because He knows better. He actually designed this whole deal. He understands how we wire. So it's and here we are trying to be outwise God. You're dumb. You're going to do that. It's not going to work for you. And so we've got to look at that. So the example is, there's one principle. I'm going to pick multiple principles. The first principle I'm going to talk about is, say, tithing. Okay, so and when we come to Christ, we understand that our whole heart and everything is valued. We value God. We value His gifting, His talents that He's given us. And that our show of worship is that we bring 10%. Even though He owns a whole 100% because we've given our whole life to Him, He just says, "Listen, for us to advance the kingdom of God, I need you to bring the 10%, the tithe, into the storehouse." And so if we neglect that as a house, as a home, as this body, the first thing that happens is I've asked Jerry to open the West Wing door, one of them, because we're ignoring this principle. So he's opened it for me. Thank you. Then we ignore the principle of marriage. No, we just live together. That's kind of just what we do. And we don't understand that the marriage is an institution set in place by God for a man and a woman. A definition made by God. A man and a woman. I know there's other people that are trying to make it something else, and they're trying to redefine it as something else. And I want you to understand that when we go into a place where we say, okay, being a heterosexual outside of marriage and being a homosexual outside of a covenant relationship, it's all good and fine. So what you're doing is, you're opening another door. So now we've got, wonderful, we've got that whole door wide open. So then we look at the next principle, the sanctity of life. The sanctity of life. Valerie, stop instructing and changing everything, okay? The sanctity of life. when we don't understand that God gives life and it is only His prerogative to take life. When He decides that my life needs to leave this earth suit, my life continues with Him, but it's His prerogative. I don't have the prerogative to terminate a pre-born baby. I do not have that license. I do not have that authority. I do not. And I don't believe that we as people, no matter what Roe v. Wade say, I don't care if every Senate says that, my God says that is wrong. Euthanasia. What about euthanasia? My son gets called as a first responder to come and come and certify somebody that has just been sent in a FedEx package a euthanizing kit from the doctor because he now wants to finish his life. New Zealand is now making a decision that from the age of 18 you can choose to do euthanasia. I'm telling you, no. You do that, you open a door. And Jerry's opening these doors faster than I can even announce them to you. I'm telling you the sanctity of life. What about worship? When anything takes more importance than God Himself as the center, because He knows that He's placed. He said, if you place me in the center, everything else finds its compass, finds its bearing. But if you think that you have other things or other people that are more important and you worship them, and you worship them as giving them more attention than you do, that's idolatry. What is that? You're violating the worship principle, and guess what? That opens another door in your life. And then suddenly, things start opposing you. What about honoring? Principle of honoring. Honoring the leadership. Honoring parents. I hear how, I've never heard people talk about leadership of a nation so recklessly as I hear in this nation. Man, we can agree to disagree, but keep the honor in place. And so every time we dishonor parents. I can understand that some parents have just really are a challenge to honor, but you can honor them and you may not agree with them, but you can still honor them and respect them. And every time you don't honor, you open a door. And you open the door and cause discomfort in your life. And so that, have you opened that one down there? Fire escape, open it up. Please. Now, listen, man, I've said my please and thank you to Jerry right in the beginning. So he's man under command now, okay? And then we walk around in knowing sin. We know it's wrong. We know God has said, listen, Rod, you need to deal with this. Rod, you need to work on this. You need to actually talk to somebody about this and get help here. Because it's bringing what? Can you feel what it's bringing? Can you feel it's coming in here? Well, it ain't hot enough. Hell is a lot hotter. Open that door. No, you're not. Because you're chatting in the front row. You should be silent. Women should be silent. That's a principle. Open that door. What's wrong with it? Do you understand? Is God doing this to us? We have this venue that has all these wonderful facilities, but by our actions and by what we're doing and by what we are not doing, we are creating an environment that it becomes uncomfortable to us. I'm trying to make this as practical that a sea storm comes to you because of us. Because of us and what we're doing with our relationship with God and with our obedience with God, because if we don't get it right, He says, listen, you're opening the doors. So don't complain that the air conditioning is not working when you're just leaving the doors open. I could have just left one door open and it would eventually affect this room. I just flung all the doors open because a lot of all this is kind of okay. This is kind of okay. But it's not okay. Church, because that's what's bringing a sea storm in our life. So I better hurry up and preach so we can close the doors and get cooled down again. Because the spirit of life in Christ Jesus is where we find our life and we find our position and our place. But there requires us to walk in a place. And God doesn't want to be a spoiler of our fun. He just knows what's right for us. So here we are. If we're in a pre-saved situation, I just want to let you know, you're a white rat in a science lab for Him. He can take you hostage anytime He wants. He can bless you and make you an enticement so the believers say, look, he lives such a debauched life, and look how blessed he is. And it's an advertising board to get you out of your faith and to walk his way or their way. And I tell you what, it's a trap. Don't go there. Or otherwise, he said, okay, well, let's see how sickness works with this person. You're a white rat in the science lab if you're pre-saved, because you don't have the liberty to call on Christ. Because Christ says, listen, you're right out from under the cloud. And so God wants us. So sin has a penalty. And it's called, it's the law of sin and death. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. There's a penalty for sin. It's a godless eternity. I want you to warm up so you really feel that, man, we can bring a real sea storm in our life because of our decisions. There is the penalty of sin, but there's the power of sin as well. I want to tell you, as a believer, the power of sin is broken. If you read in Romans 6, the power of sin is broken. And you go to a pre-saved person, you understand, I don't call them unbelievers, I just call them pre-saved. They're just saved, they just don't know it. They've just got to hurry up and get on with the program and connect with Jesus and then find out that sins are forgiven. But if you're a believer, the power of sin is broken. And the unbeliever says, no, I can handle this. I can get off this addiction. No. It's like a lemon tree. You can pluck all the lemons off because you say, no, I'm going to stop swearing. I'm going to stop this and I'm going to stop that. You pluck all the lemons off. By the time for that lemon tree to bear fruit, what is it going to bear? It's going to bear lemons. If you don't change the root, you don't change the fruit. And that's when you put your life into Christ, you change your root system and your fruit system changes. And then the fruits of the Spirit come out. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control come the fruits that bear out of it. So the power of sin is broken because the root has changed. And I want to just let you know that the presence of sin will always be with us believers until we go to eternity. But as we are empowered by Christ, the presence of sin won't have its position in our life or a place in our life. So a sea storm happens to you as an individual. You can bring a sea storm, and I'm hoping you're feeling the sea storm. I'm the furthest away from all the doors, so I'm the least getting affected. Yeah, you guys are sweating. You guys are the cheap seats at the back. You're going to be sweating it. It's good to have the front seats, expensive seats, and it's good. You can do it as a family, husband and wife, make poor choices. Say, no, we're not going to tithe as a family. No, we're just going to live together, or we're going to support this leadership group. I tell you what happens is you affect the whole family because of your choice. You bring a sea storm to your life, amen? Not so? You bring a sea storm to your family, and your family have to walk out because of your choices. That's why it's important as parents to make the right choices. What happens in a church? The leadership makes certain decisions about what they interpret the scriptures are and the imbalance of it, and it brings a certain thing, a sea storm into the church. And I've seen that as well. But what about communities? We're seeing certain communities that have leadership that are making poor decisions and they're bringing ruckus and hostility and challenges to their neighborhood. Why? Because that's what they're doing. They are leading them and allowing that storm to come into their life. What about a nation? And we're sitting on the verge of making decisions on the 3rd of November. Haiti made a decision in 1825. Those slaves, those French slaves, made a covenant with Satan in 1825 that if they rid themselves of the French domination, that they would serve Satan and dedicate the nation to Satan. If anybody's been to Haiti, it is the most tough place I've ever been to minister the gospel. And we saw, and what happened is the next day a virus broke out to all the French people, and they slaughtered the French, and the blood ran knee deep in Cap Haitien. They've got monuments there explaining it. And then they killed wild hogs and stuff, and they dedicated the nation to Satan. And you fly over there, you can see the Dominican Republic is green, luscious, prosperous. And you go over the line, and it's Haiti is burnt, brown, and poor, and desolate. And they brought a curse upon themselves. That's the decision that you make, and you bring a sea storm into your life. It's just because you're not flowing with the things of God. God says, listen, I've made a way for you to live and to walk and to have your being. It's with me. And when you do that, hallelujah. And it says here in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And I want us to understand that, man, we're making decisions. It's not because the pastor says so. No, God's saying so. We can't pick and mix. No, I'd have a bit of this and I have a bit of that in my walk of faith. No, God's saying, listen, this is how I've organized it. And so can we close the doors now? Because I want to teach you how to get out of this storm, okay? Because we need to get out of this storm. So if anybody can help close the doors, that'll be appreciated. Because I don't want... Hallelujah. So I want to just let you know, how do you get out of a sea storm? One word, repentance. And is repentance not the religious way you were taught repentance? Repentance, it means it's metanoia. I change my mind. I change my mind about tithing. I'm going to tithe. I've changed my mind about marriage. I'm going to get married. I'm changing my mind about honoring. I'm changing my mind in all these areas. And when we do that, you better turn them up super cool, eh, bro? Because the boys are all sweating in here, eh? Including me. Hallelujah. And I want to just say, when you repent, and the thing is, we're all at different stages. You talk about sin. Certain things are sin in my life, but they're not sin in your life. Because I'm journeyed in that place where God pushes the button in my life. He says, Rod, it's enough now. I don't want you to do that anymore. I'm reminded about a lady called Sandy Brown. She ministered in Las Vegas as a topless waiter. Got saved. She continued to minister for the next 6 months as a topless waiter, getting people saved in that arena. And then God said, listen, I think you need to put more clothing on now. And she got people saved. There was a season and there was a time. But there are things and seasons in your time that God's saying, I need you to change now. I need you to pull in line with me because I want you to get in step with me. Because when you get in step with me, the favor and the cool pleasures of air conditioning will come back and will follow you. I want us to understand that this sea storm, everybody says, why, God will bring a storm in your life. No, we, in our stupidity, we bring storms in our lives. And we've got to just be aware of it. We need to understand that the decisions we make bring storms in our life. But I love this here. We serve a God of a second chance. And man, we do mess it up all the time, eh? And I know I've had a call on this because here in Jonah, chapter 3, verse 1, it says, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. We serve a God of a second chance. And we need to understand. Some of us have had a third chance, fourth chance, fifth chance, sixth chance. And God will say, I'll give you all the chances. Just have the decision, the willpower to go my way. Because in that way, I can make sure that I can rebuke the devourer. Stop him from coming to kill, steal, and destroy from you. I can get into your corner. I can allow things to happen and favor. Because if not, you're opening doors and you're causing the stuff to come in and cause a sea storm in your life. I hope that kind of adjusts a few things in your life today. But it's important that we understand that being storm-wise is understanding that a Komatsu storm, you're going to have to be spirit-led. So I don't know what that is. Man, learn. The best way to learn, it's a need to know. Come and ask me how to be spirit-led. I'll teach you. I'll explain to you. The elders will explain to you. Those that are gone in the Lord will explain to you. But you need to be spirit-led, otherwise you're going to go into a Komatsu storm and you don't want to do that. A seismic storm, you may say, well, man, I'm battling with it. Well, you've got to grow your faith. I can't help you with your faith. You need to grow your faith in the God who's awesome and amazing and able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask. In the sea storm, man, if you find yourself in a sea storm, repent. Just change direction. Say, God, I mean, stepping out of line. I need to just step back in and get in step with God. I hope you receive something this morning. Let's pray. Hallelujah. The Father, now we have sweated it. And we know hell is a lot hotter than this. So we want to make sure we're in step with you. And I know that you're a loving God, that you've provided for us, that you've made a way for us, that you are you're just so for us. And that you want us to adjust things in our life. And so, and I just sense, church, as I've been speaking, God's bringing to your attention things that need to be adjusted because you may have not just flung the door open wide, but you've kind of just left it cracked. The other day, I left the refrigerator door in our garage slightly open. Good Lord, was everything saturated and a mess inside because eventually the sea storm got into it and warmed it up. Can we say today it's enough? Can we say today, listen, I'm going to actually deal with this. I'm going to close this door and I'm actually going to bolt it closed, good and proper, that I'm not going to let the enemy come and lie to me and justify, you know, that I don't have to do this, you know, that's old school. These people have got old school thinking, you know. Now, adultery's fine. Now, fornication's fine. No, close the door. No. God's saying, come on. Come on. We've got so much to do. So many things to accomplish. So many promises that I have for you. And I want you to fly with me. Because there's much to do in these days. Much to do. Signs, wonders, and miracles are destined upon your life. Success. Bringing other lives out of darkness into light. Your family, this family members, God said, I am committed to bring them into the kingdom. But I can't bless a mess. I can't authorize compromise. I can't authorize it. Come. Come away with me. Come and walk with me. Come spend time with me. And watch what I can do. I thank you, Father, that you give us ears to hear what you say. The situations are so vast in a room like this and with those watching us. But Father, you know every hair on every person's head. You know every situation, every thought, every intent in our hearts. And so, Father, we lay it bare. There's no place we can hide. There's no place we can go. We go to the highest mountain, you're there. We go to the depths of the sea, you're there. There's no place to hide. So here we are. Here we are. You see us. Including me, Lord, standing here, speaking. I'm telling you, I'm speaking at myself all day long. And today I preached to myself. And so, Father, I want to adjust. I want to have ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. And so, Father, help us as a family. Help us as people that want to definitely walk and glorify you and bring glory to you and your name upon this earth, that your kingdom will come to many lives because and through me, because you are working in and through me. I ask that you would do this for us as a family, my God. Would you do that? And Father, help us, because we know we're going to come through storms. It's not if, it's when, my God. Allow us to be ready. Let us be spirit alert. Let us be able to sail with purpose and with a great posture and with a great plan, my God, because we are with you. You're in the boat with us, and we thank you for that. Bless this family as we journey through this week, my God, that we would go out with joy and are led forth with peace. And we say this in Jesus' name. God bless you. Amen.